Good evening. I'm going to ask sort of a stupid question to get started with, and I'm probably famous for stupid questions. How many people here, and I want to see a show of hands, don't have any problems? Come on, get them up. Today, right now. All right. Mr. Cottle, he's an honest man, has no problems tonight. But I would dare say we all face, yeah, the night ain't over, that's right. He's got a bigger one because I'm up here, right? So I mean, we all face circumstances and different things in our life that tend to challenge us and many times rob us of our joy. If I ask another question, I want you to be honest with this one too. How many of us can honestly say that we display in our lives the joy of the Lord all the time? I'm looking at you, Carrie. Now, if we're honest, it's tough, isn't it? We talk about the things that we all have and face, and sometimes they overwhelm us a little bit, they overcome us, and we lose a little bit of our joy. I want to talk tonight a little bit about true joy, something that we should never lose. And I'm talking to myself as much as anyone else. But when we look at joy as the world sees it, it's defined by Webster's as the emotion evoked by well-being, success, good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. The expression or exhibition of such emotion, a state of happiness. Well, if you look at that definition by the world's perspective, it doesn't leave a lot of room for things that go bad, does it? It talks about joy is determined by our desires, by getting what we want, by success, by good fortune, by all these things. I'm here to tell you that our joy is not dependent on those things. It's not dependent on what the world says. It's not defined by what the world says. The world's definition of joy, would you agree, is pretty fickle, pretty fleeting? It comes and goes as our circumstances change. Things are going well, then we may have a smile on our face, skip in our step, our heart may flutter a little bit, and there's joy. But when things get difficult, which they're always going to do except for Carrie, then there's no joy. It reminds me of a story, and bear with me on this one because I'm going to have to read it, but I found it sort of fascinating, and it illustrates how quickly circumstances can change and how fleeting joy is. An atheist was walking through the woods. He was thinking to himself, man, how beautiful these animals are. How majestic these trees are. How powerful these rivers are. His heart was full of joy. As he walked along the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes. He turned and he saw an 8-foot grizzly bear charging towards him. He ran as fast as he could, but when he looked over his shoulder, he saw that the bear was closing in on him. He kept running, but the bear was getting closer and closer. Then all of a sudden he tripped and he fell to the ground. He looked up and the bear was right on top of him, his big massive paw in the air, raised to strike this man. At that instant, as you can probably imagine, he wasn't thinking much about being an atheist anymore. He cried out, God, help me. When he did this, time stopped. Everything froze. The forest was completely silent. A bright light shone down upon the man, and a voice from the sky said, you've denied my existence for all these years. You've taught others that I don't exist. You've even credited creation to some cosmic accident. Why should you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Are you now a believer? Well, the atheist, he looked up into the light and he said, well, I'd be a hypocrite to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian. But could you maybe, just maybe, make that bear a Christian? Very well, said the voice. The light went out. The sounds of the forest resumed. The bear, whose paw was in the air ready to strike, lowered it. He brought both paws together. He bowed his head and he said, Lord, bless this food which I'm about to receive. That's a humorous illustration of how quickly circumstances can change. This gentleman was having a beautiful day in the forest. He was full of joy. And then all of a sudden, this nature that he was admiring came back to bite him. Well, we don't want to have that kind of joy, do we? We want to have joy that's consistent, that's permanent, that's there in spite of our circumstances. And I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that when I first read it, and I admit that I haven't really thought about this passage of Scripture as one to really talk about joy exclusively, but it showed me that there's really two things that we need to look for to have permanent joy in our lives and to display that to others. And one is we have to find the source of our joy, and we have to find the focus of our joy. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. And my wife encouraged me, joyously I might add, to quit on time. I think the last time I spoke, I kept you about 10 minutes late, but I promise not to do that tonight. So your joy will be full because you will get out of here on time. Beginning in verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if you need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is a very familiar passage. All of us have heard it a lot of times, and I want to concentrate on just a couple of things in there. The last statement that we said was receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I'm here to tell you, and I think we can find Scripture to back it up, that the source of true joy is our salvation. Does our salvation ever change? Once we've accepted Him into our heart, it doesn't fade, it doesn't go away, it's eternal. And it is our source, as we read in the verse before that, of joy inexpressible in the fact that we have been saved. Let's think about that a minute. If we stop, no matter what's going on in our life, and we simply concentrate on the fact that we've been saved, we've been redeemed, what does that do to your heart? No matter what else is going on, if you truly think about that one thing, what does that do to your heart? You can answer somebody. You rejoice, which is sort of the, I don't know the proper English term for that. What is that for the word joy? I don't know what it is. But anyway, if we have joy, we rejoice, okay? And we're encouraged to rejoice. Joy is given to us. It's one of the fruit of the spirits. God bestows it upon us when we're saved. But many times we lose sight of what the true source of our joy should be. If we look back through Scripture, Abraham, he knew what the source of his joy was. In John chapter 8, in verse 56, it says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was very glad." He saw by faith what was to come. He knew that the salvation was the source of his joy. David expressed similar sentiment in Psalms chapter 51. Another very familiar passage. None of this is new to us. It's just we tend to forget it as we go through life's struggles. In Psalms 51 and verse 12, it says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." David realized that when everything else went awry, that his salvation in the Lord was his true source of joy. The Ethiopian eunuch felt the same way in Acts chapter 8, verse 39. "Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing." Why was he rejoicing? Somebody, why was that eunuch rejoicing? He'd gotten saved. So what was the source of his joy? Salvation. Okay. One more example of that, over in Acts chapter 16, was the Philippian jailer. Acts 16 and verse 34. "Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." He wasn't rejoicing because they had that food set before him. He was rejoicing because he had accepted Christ as his Savior. And he knew from that point forward he was saved and his household. That is the source of true joy. But many times we lose focus. And so one other thing I think that ties in to thinking about our salvation as the source of our joy is thinking about God Himself as our focus in life. It was said by someone, a wise person I would say, "It's not that we are wrong in seeking joy and pleasure. We are wrong in seeking pleasure in anything but God Himself." He saved us. He keeps us. He's prepared a place for us to be with Him for all eternity. Just imagine how different things would be in our pursuit of joy in our daily lives if we seek Him and Him alone. It would impact every other area of our life. I listed just a few. Let's think about it in the area of worship. Worship, basically, it is our joy in God overflowing to praise God. And if that was our focus all the time, we'd be able to enjoy Him more. We wouldn't be able to contain the praise and adoration we have for Him if we're focusing on Him. What about for evangelism? Evangelism is our joy in God overflowing in praising God to men. Just think about the fact, if we're thinking about that source of joy as our salvation, we're focusing on Him, how much more we would want to talk about Him and share Him with others, because we would have that joy in our hearts and be delighted in Him. Who's the favorite kind of person to be around? A joyful person. They're infectious, aren't they? I mean, when somebody has joy in their heart, it just overflows out of them. If we do that in worship, if we do that in evangelism, if we do that in service, service is our joy in God overflowing in the ministry to others. So if we've got that joy in our heart, how much more will our ministry be fueled by joy? It won't be tedious. We won't be doing it out of guilt. We'll be serving others because we have that joy and want to serve them because it pleases God and He's our focus. And even when it comes to enduring persecution and suffering, You know, it's us setting aside the joy, or setting the joy of God above any pleasures of sin or anything that happened for just a season or anything that we're going through for just a season. He's given us the strength to get through that and endure it. And one other area is in our study of God's Word. It's motivated by the joy it gives to God and to us to learn more about Him. David found his deepest joy in God. And in Psalms 119, he was talking about finding great delight in the law of the Lord. And we should too. There are a few things that may hinder us from this joy. One, I say, is something that in this group I probably don't even need to say, but if everyone here has been saved and you think about that salvation, then you're going to be joyous. But if we not experience true salvation, we're not going to have that joy. So that's the biggest hindrance to having permanent joy in our life. One other thing for those of us who have accepted Him is if we have any unconfessed sin in our life, that can hinder us and rob our joy. And then a third thing is if we have the wrong focus. If we're getting our eyes off of Him and onto our circumstances and onto other things in our life and not on God Himself. I promised you I'd let you out of here. I'm already 2 minutes late. But I'd like to just conclude with, you know, if we would all just examine the true source of joy, which is our eternal salvation, and focus on God alone, the circumstances of everyday life will fade in comparison to the inexpressible and glorious joy that will fill our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for such a great salvation that You've worked out for us, Lord. We cannot help but rejoice when we think about the price You paid for us, the plan You made for us to be with You for all eternity. Well, Lord, we're just joyful thinking about You preparing a place now for us to be with You in heaven. Lord, we pray that You will help this joy to permeate our lives daily, for others to see it in us, that we will not be affected by the ebb and flow of life, Lord. You know, we know You don't expect us to walk around with a fake smile and put on, but we know that deep, inner, true joy, Lord, can shone through no matter what we're going through, no matter what we face, because we know our strength is in You. Lord, help our focus to be on You, and help us to honor You in all that we do. We just praise You and thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.